Hello, Jim. It's me pestering you again.
Yeah, well done.
let's see. What sort of questions is that? When did you first start?
Well, I started in the mid-30s, 1935, 36, late 35, early 36. Mm-hmm. And I was working at home with my father. And of course, I was only getting a pittance of a wage, and I wanted more money. Mm. And he said, well, the business won't stand two men's wages out of it. You'll have to find a job. And he said, you've got two brothers coming up the back. They want a job.
What did your dad do, actually?
Pardon?
What did your dad do? What was his job?
Oh, we had the village stores at Naisin.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, yeah.
So I heard that there was jobs going in the mills, mm-hmm. that they were taking on people. So I went and saw one of the dignitaries in the village,
oh, yeah.
You know, one of the knobs, like, you know.
In Naisin?
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, first of all, I spoke to his chauffeur. I was playing cricket on top of Naisin Common, and the chauffeur was there watching the game. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, do you think your boss would write a letter in the mills for me? And of course, he wanted to know the ins and outs. So I said, told him. He said, I'll ask him. He said, I don't know whether he will or not. Anyhow, on a Thursday, he called in home and said, the captain will see you at 8 o'clock tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
That was on the Friday. And in the meantime, a friend of mine, said, do you think you'll write one in for me? So I said, well, you come along and give me moral support, and we'll see what happens. Well, anyhow, we rolled up at the back door of the big house, and the maid answered, and she said, well, he hasn't said anything to me about it. So anyhow, she said, I'll go and announce that you're here.
So see, you're only about 16 or 17 then, were you?
Pardon?
How old were you then?
I was 21 then.
21, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, she went and announced it, and a booming voice came up. That's right, tell them to come in. Mm-hmm. And when we walked in, he was sitting in a great big high chair and that with his old cigar.
Impressive. Yes.
And that. And the first thing he said, and what makes you think I can get you a job? Mm-hmm. See, so I said, well, I don't think you can actually get us a job, sir. But the thing is that you're on the bench at the Waltham Abbey courthouse, see, because there was a courthouse at the top of... you know, don't
yes.
you?
Yes.
And he was on the bench there, see, so I said, well, you're on the bench at Waltham Abbey, and I said, you're the chairman of Schlesinger's sports outfit, and I said, you're well known, and I said, I think your word would go a long way. Oh, you do you? So he said, I'll see what I can do. He said, he said, where do you want to go, in the mills or in Enfield Lock? See, so I said, well, I'd sooner go in the mills. And my mate pipes up, he said, well, I'd sooner go in Enfield Lock in engineering. Mm-hmm. Oh, he said, you would you? He said, that's two bloody letters I've got to write now, then. That's just how he said it. That's
Jack Blunt.
Anyhow, this was the back end of August. Mm. And then about the end of September... we had a letter from, well, my mate had a letter from Enfield Lock, and I had one from the
mills,
see? So I went down and had an interview, and I forget the lady, I think her name was Baring, I think, or something
yes,
like
that. Yes, that's what I call that name.
And she said, I can offer you a job, she said, until April. And she said, it then depends on whether the government advance more money.
Oh, yes. Well, more money to run the establishment, the factory.
Pardon?
More money to run the factory.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you see, it comes up with, well, like, you know, today, the amount of money that each of these sections are allocated.
Mm.
And this is what she was on about, you see. She said it depends on whether we get another allocation of money. So I only had a job till April.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished up there for 44 years.
Oh, yeah, lovely. What sort of work did they put
I don't know, of course, went in front of old Arger.
Mm.
You remember Arger?
No, I don't.
He was the doctor.
Oh, yes. No, I didn't remember him.
Because you came about the same time as me, didn't you?
I started about 39, actually.
39?
Yes.
Ah. Old Arger might have gone by then.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anyhow, he was the works doctor at the time, Arger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had to go and have a medical and that. Mm-hmm. And then I went back and reported, and they sent me over to Southside.
Mm-hmm.
And reported to the foreman's office over there. And who should be the foreman was old Sue Caudle.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember Sue Caudle?
No, Sue.
Sue. That's his nickname.
Oh, yes. No.
Sue Caudle.
I don't name Caudle. There was somebody in the joint office once named that, I think.
In where?
In the joint office. That might be one of the family. I don't know.
No. He had a son who was a carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
And Arthur was the other son. He worked in the stores.
Oh, yes.
And Arthur worked in the stores even up after the war. And the one that was a carpenter, he died early.
Oh.
But Arthur was in the stores after the war even.
I see, yeah.
Yeah. And anyhow, when I rolled up at the foreman's office over there, he said, what are you doing here? Because he knew me from Nazings. He came from Nazings.
Oh, yes, so he knew you, yes.
He said, what the blaze are you doing here? So I said, I've come for a job for Martha. That was how I come to start over on the south side. He said that I've got just a job for you, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And he put me down in the box house, getting the boxes ready for accepting the cordite
in. Oh, packing the cordite in. No.
Yeah.
What are they, like a wooden box, like wooden...
Yeah, they were long, flat boxes,
oh, yes,
they were. And they had divisions in them, you know, the different lengths of cordite.
Oh, yeah.
And they used to slot these pieces of wood into grooves in the box for the size of the cordite so that it didn't move about.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to load the old Lady of the Lee up, and
you actually loaded the vessel up.
Yeah, we used to load that up with about 30 ton of cordite.
Oh yes. Hmm.
And then
where would it be moored up? Where would the
It used to come up the Black Ditch.
Oh yes.
Right up to the box house.
Hmm.
And we used to put out a wooden walkway. Pathway, so you didn't get your shoes in that.
So you walked straight from the.
Yeah, straight from the box house to the edge of the barge.
Oh, yes.
And we used to unload the empty boxes into the box house, and then the truckers used to bring the full boxes from the magazines down there, and we used to load the barge up.
Oh, yes.
Well, then
it was a sailing barge. It was a
sailing barge. Oh, yes, but it used to be pulled by horses. All the way down the Lee.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't use the sail until he got out into the Thames. And then, of course, as time went on, of course, we were only day shifts then. Then it went two shifts and then three shifts. And, of course, by the time you came in, 1939, there was so much the barges couldn't cope with it.
No.
And they used to have these mechanical horses bringing containers in from the railway.
Oh, yes.
And they used to come in in Sewiston Road there.
That's right. There was a little siding, wasn't there? Went off onto the Sewiston.
That's right. Behind what at the end was the fire station.
Oh, yes.
You see, actually, where the fire station was before the war was ICI.
Yes.
ICI had about half a dozen buildings in there, yes. And it was fenced off. And they had that. Well, we used to come in with these mechanical horses at the side of that.
Oh,
and they had a special gang there just loading those all day long.
Oh, yes. Did you ever go down the river actually on Lady of the Lee?
No, I never did that.
And that would eventually go right across to Woolwich, I suppose.
Well, it used to go down to Slade Green.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And then when we used to get the boxes back, the young ladies who were filling the shells and all that sort of thing used to send little notes back in the boxes to us.
Romantic.
Yeah.
Also, you sort of became pen friends, you might say.
Well, more or less, yes. Yes. Well, of course, actually, we didn't have anything to do with, actually, the packing of the cordite and the...
So it was
all done in the blending houses.
Oh, yes.
See, there were six blending houses those days.
Six,
six blending houses.
Yeah.
And they were fully staffed and that, going full blast.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they opened up the real house on the south side.
Yes.
See, there was a real house over on the north side. Which was working, you know, when I first went there. They used to do all the cartridge.
Five,
two, and 7.2.
Yes, that's right, yes. MDT or something.
And then, of course, it got so much that they opened up the real house on the south side.
Oh, yeah.
There was stuff that was being turned out. And then, of course, when we had the explosions in 1940, you know, it was what we're going to do with all the staff and that.
Oh, yes.
So we were unloading then stuff that was made in the war, First World War.
Good Lord.
And they reworked it.
Oh, yes.
You know, it went back and went through the incorporators, was all mixed up again with acetone and then through the presses again. And we had to put rework on.
Oh, yes, that would come back from Woolwich.
Back from Woolwich and Slade Green.
Oh, yes, rework. That's what rework was. I never found out what that meant, rework. I thought it was just some stuff we'd messed up.
That's what rework was, and that's how it kept the factory going.
Oh, yeah.
See, after the explosions, because, you see,
they couldn't make it.
But then, of course... just after the second explosion, I was called up into the Air Force.
Oh, yes.
And that was it.
How long did you spend in the Air Force?
6 years.
Oh, yes.
I went away and left a wife with two babies.
Yes.
Yeah, one was... When I went out the Far East, I went to the Far East, I left the baby in a pram, a year old he was.
Oh, yes.
And when I came back, he was ready for school. And he came up to me and he put his arms around my legs and looked at me old-fashioned. And he went back to his mum and he said, "Is that my dad, mum?"
Oh, lovely. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I bet he never forgot
But the thing was, though, that took that boy ages and ages and ages to accept me into the house.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Who's this blooming foreigner in the house, you know? Because, I was taking the off of him, you know, with his mum, you see.
Yes, that's right. You were sharing the affection.
That's right.
Yes.
But there you are. That's all part of life.
Oh, that's...
Yes, that's how life is.
Yes.
Yeah. But I must admit, I enjoyed my work in life in the mills.
Yes, so did I. It was a community, like, wasn't
That's
it?
That's right.
What you came back? When you came back, you went into safety, didn't you?
Pardon?
You started back after the army.
Oh yes, I came back after the war, and that's another tale.
Oh yes.
As soon as I got demobbed, I went down to to the offices, you know, in Powder Mill Lane, and I saw somebody there. They said, oh, the factory's closed down. There's no more, nothing more going on here, and we're packing up.
Yeah.
See, so they said, how much leave you got to come? So I said, oh, it goes up until the end of September. So they said, go, you know, go away and then come back after you've had your leave and that. Well, I went and got another job.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I went and got another job.
Yeah.
Anyhow, at the end of me leave, I went back down to the mills because you could claim so much money, I think it was.
Yes,
for how long? I think it was a week's wages for every year you'd done or something or the other. Anyhow, I thought, well, I'll go and have that anyhow. When I went back again, they said, oh, we've all started up again. We're not releasing anybody. You'll have to come back here to work. Because you see, the war restrictions were still on, you see.
And I
had to go and tell the boss on the other job that I was finishing. I had to go back to the mills. I've got to go down there.
Oh,
and that's how. And I went and worked on the building works then. And I was there with the Arthur, I can't think of the form. Shorey. Mr. Shore. He was a principal foreman. And anyhow, he put me with a gang of men, and we had to go up to the cottage up in the woods. You remember old Pride had it?
Up on the corner, on the eastern boundary.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, we had to go up there and dig a cesspit. Because old Pride was living there then, and he didn't want them earth closet toilets, so he wanted, you know, flush toilets.
Yes.
So we were supposed to dig these. Well, I thought this is not for me. My bloody job. See, so when I went down at night time, I went into the office. And Arthur Berry was there. He was the underforeman. So he said, well, that's all I've got to offer you. So I said, well, you can get my cards up, I said. He said, oh, I don't know about that. I said, well, I said, I'm definitely not digging bloody cesspits. I said, I didn't do that sort of thing in the blooming wartime. I said, in the army. I said, no, I'm not doing it here. And anyhow, the next thing I knew, I was up in front of old Wallace. Do you remember Wallace?
Yes.
And he was up in the office there, in Walton House.
Yeah.
And he said, I couldn't dictate. I said, look, I said, when I came out of the Air Force, they told me I'd go back on the job I was on before I left. I said, I must admit that I can't go back on to that because it's not done now. But I said, I'm not digging bloody cesspits.
Yeah.
See? So next thing I knew, I was up in front of the man with white hair. What was his name? He was the works manager. He had a daughter.
Oh, yes. Was not Downing, no.
No.
Crossman?
Crossman.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. So I was up in front of him then. So he said, well, I can understand your...
Interrupt you for a moment. Everybody remembers Shirley Crossman.
Shirley, yes.
The old man. She was quite a girl, wasn't she?
Oh, yes, she was lovely.
Sorry,
She married the one of the draftsmen, didn't she?
Oh, yes. Peter, was it Peter?
He left and went and worked for estate agents in Chesson, didn't
that's
he?
That's right, yes. I've lost it. I've got his name.
Peterson.
Peterson, that's
yes,
right. Yes,
Peterson.
Yes.
Yeah, she married him.
Oh, yes.
And then I was up in front of Crossman and he said, well, he said, you know, it's very difficult. I said, I'll agree with you. I said, I know it's very difficult to place us people coming back. But I said, I've been here now a fortnight. And I said, I'm not digging cesspits. I said, said, I've got off of that. They put me in the into the building works, into the carpenter shop. I said, I don't mind that, but I said, I'm not going out on that gang again, digging cesspits. So he said, well, will you give me a fortnight? So I said, yeah, oh, yes. I said, I agree to that. I said, he said, I'll see what I can do. And the next thing I knew, I was in charge of all those German prisoners of war.
Oh, yes.
Pulling those trees and all that out up there, back, you know, around the main lab and all that. In that
oh,
open.
Yes, I didn't know about that. No,
do you remember
that,
it?
No, I don't. That's
yeah, we pulled all those trees and that all out.
Oh,
we,
yes.
We had donkey winches and that. I didn't work at all. All I did was just supervise them.
Supervise them, oh,
yes. Yeah. And I was on that for, couple of years, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went back again as a carpenter's mate.
Yes, oh, yes.
And then, of course, we had that terrible winter of 1947,
oh,
you know.
Yes, yes.
When
it
was flooded out, like at the moment it is, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember lifting all the Freddie Carr's box of tools up onto the bench. And they said, everybody for themselves, get out as quick as you can. And the time we got down to the main gate, the water was up to our knees.
Oh, as quick as that needed to come.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, so the word came up from the offices, get out as quick as you can.
Ooh.
And as I say, I lifted the Freddie Carr's box of tools up onto the bench.
Yeah.
And away we went.
So the whole factory was underwater.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Oh. Weren't you there then?
No, I didn't. I didn't start back till 54.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The water was up in the 147 and up there. The water was up 18 inches into the building.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
And the buildings themselves were already standing up a bit, weren't they?
That's right.
Yeah.
Sure. No, I wasn't. No. That you're talking of the steam, the old black powder buildings,
yes,
which are high up. Okay. No, I'm talking about the Incorporating House.
Oh yes, no,
which
yes.
is much lower.
Yeah,
they're more ground level.
Yeah,
it's about 18 inches up in the Incorporating House, the old Incorporating House. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But anyhow, when we got out into the town and going along there in front of Nobel's, we had to go along on the metal bars there. It was rushing across terribly, it could knock you over.
Yeah, well, it must be the same. It must have all been the Cobbins book, because it has it done again, isn't it?
That's right.
Last week it was Cobbins book that was coming up.
That's right, yes, that's all on the news this last week, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right, that was on the news.
Yeah. Another thing is, old Sue Call, he took me under his wing, really.
Yeah.
And he was geeing me up to be a foreman.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you go round all the different departments. He said, I'll push you round all the different departments. You gee up on all what's going on. He said, there's soon going to be some more foremen wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'll push you forward for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on the barges, pulling the tray barges, operate between north side and south side.
Pulling them along the cut.
That's right. And of course, it was in the middle of the blooming winter. and of course, if you drop the blooming rope in the water, it froze up. It was like a blooming scaffold pole.
Yes, it was a severe winter, that one, wasn't it?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. And of course, we had the old army overcoats.
Yeah.
And the leather workers used to sew a leather pad on the shoulders for us.
Oh, for the rope to go on.
For the rope to go on, And they had wool blooming holes in the leather pad and that.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm. But of course, you didn't let it drop in the water if you could possibly help it, But yeah, that's another aspect of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did you get it under the bridge under
refinery?
Under refinery.
Well, up there by number 10, there used to be a winch.
Yes.
And we used to have to take a line down from the winch down underneath the and winch the boat up.
Oh yes, walk along the railway track there.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
And we used to have to winch the boat up.
Oh.
when there was a flood on and that. Yeah. And then he used to go in under the bridge there by what was the old stores those days, and the fire station.
Oh, yes.
He used to go underneath the bridge there and go along to the loading stage up there by what those days was the boathouse, where they used to take the barges in and repair them.
But I'm not quite sure. This is travelling north, is it? From the south side? North?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah, of course, before...
Well, then, of course, when you went back, when there was a flood on, you used to have to hook the barge onto the winch and let it down on the winch because the water was going rushing down there.
Yes, pulling it through.
You couldn't control it otherwise.
No. Then you had to go through a set of locks there too, didn't you?
You used to go round the bend, the back of Nobles.
Yeah.
Then you used to have to go sharp left into the cut that took you down to Guncotton section, where there was a lock there which lowered you down into Black Ditch.
Yeah, yes.
And that, and then we used to go off into the different stoves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's another thing. I was there when number 41 stove went up.
Why did it blow up?
Well, what happened was, they just loaded it with, set it, what we used to call setting the stoves.
Mm.
That was filling it up. Mm. They'd bought a barge load of cordite from north side, and loaded this 41 stove up with the cordite, and they just moved away, and they started opening up at Enfield Lock on the range, and they reckon that one of the bullets ricocheted and went through the roof, and of course the building was full of fume, and it exploded, and of course, as I said about Sue Caudle, looking after me and that, he got me onto the fire section. He used to do an hour's drill every fortnight.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And that was another one and sixpence a week. That was a lot of money then, Dave.
Temporary fireman,
a casual fireman, like, if you... That's right, yeah. Mm. Auxiliary, yeah.
Yeah.
And we used to have a fire jenny in a flat bottom boat in Black Ditch.
Mm.
Well, when I got down there, I said, well, Tom, we pull the swimming barge down to there, it'll be out. So a couple of us carried this jenny over the Half Moon Bridges. You know, remember the Half Moon Bridges? I carried this jenny over, I think it was three of them we carried
over.
That's
a sort of hand pump thing, is it?
Pardon?
That's a sort of hand pump, is it?
Well, it's, it was a...
A motor driven?
Yeah, a motor unit.
Yes.
But it was in a cage.
Oh, yeah.
And it got handles on it, back and front, and you could carry it.
Oh, yeah.
And we got this over, and of course we had the hose reels dotted about all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And two or three of them went and got the hose reels, and when we got round there, because the heat from the actual fire was terrific, all we could do was just play the hose onto the two buildings either side of it.
Oh, cool, then down a bit.
Actually, we got commended for... commended. Remember Blanchard?
Yes. Oh, was that not Walter, but his brother?
Yeah, he was a top scientist, like, sort of thing.
Well, Blanchard was Blanchard from the main lab?
Yeah.
That was Walter, yes.
Yeah. Well, he was the one who congratulated us on that. But I think he actually put down, names forward, in a higher than that. He said that we'd done a fair job,
Did you get any commendation, official?
No. Well, only thing I got when I left was the Long Service Medal,
You didn't get a mention as regards the firefighting and that?
No.
It's nice to be noticed.
The thing was that after we'd come back and that, they informed us that we weren't to... discuss anything with the press that would gathered outside the gate.
Oh, yes. Oh, you weren't to say anything to them?
Pardon?
You said you weren't to discuss anything.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, don't discuss anything with the press outside.
You did Did you get onto the safety after that? Because you weren't...
Well, last 12 years I was there, I was on the safety section, with Les Cole and Griffiths and...
That was a bit dull after firefighting, I'd say.
Well, you
had to keep an eye on things. It was a responsible job.
We used to have to get rid of all the waste and that.
Yeah, of course
you
did.
Burning down and that.
Could be a dodgy bit.
Well, that's a fact. And then we had... Do you remember that KDMP that came back?
No.
You know, the army brought it in.
No.
Had outriders and all that.
No.
They found 10 tonnes of it underneath the roadway up the east end of London.
Oh, did they? What, what was this, Kate?
Well, it was... I've got to remember what it was.
Was it...
It's potassium dioxide.
Oh, no, it was just a amount of explosive they put.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I see, yes.
It was all in rubber bags, about half a hundredweight in each bag.
Oh, yes.
And they
found it under the roadway.
Yeah, the London Fire Brigade found it.
Oh, yeah.
And all was outcry about it.
Hmm.
And they brought it into the Abbey, into... Waltham Abbey
to be destroyed,
yeah. And I mean that took us a hell of a while get rid of that. We burned it all in the end.
Yeah.
Oh, as I said to you just at the beginning, you know, I really enjoyed
you got a brilliant recollection of it all. You know, it's quite it's marvellous how much you can recall.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Remember such small details, do which just makes it all very interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see, is there any other thing?
Actually, you're talking about this sort of thing. I'm partially blind.
Yes, I know. You said this morning that you were.
Yeah, and the Rotary Club come and pick me up once a month and take me to a blind social evening.
Yeah.
And one of the chaps who came from the Rotary Club to pick me up, and I got talking about, you know, when I was in the Air Force and out the Far East and that. And he wrote me in to give them a talk on my train journey from Colombo in Ceylon to Karachi.
That's another story, aren't
I? So I gave them a little talk on that. It's, you know, dinner time, lunch and that, And they have about 20 minutes or 25, half an hour.
Yes.
And they had old Norman Wisdom there the other week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yes.
Somebody knew him, you know,
yes.
Got him in.
Oh, came along.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
I live all on my own.
Yes.
I'm 85 now.
Oh, yes.
But the only trouble is I've got a bit of trouble with my tummy at the moment.
Oh, yes.
And I went to QE2 at Wellingarden City the other day and had a camera put up inside of me.
Oh, yeah.
But they can't find anything wrong.
No, no.
But I have to keep close to a toilet now at the moment.
Well, there has been something going about. You know, it's like a severe cold, but it goes right through you.
Yeah, well, this has been going on since last March.
Has it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And the old doctors keep on changing all the tablets to try and do, but nothing seems to do any good.
I don't feel
ill or anything.
No.
It's just that I'm so loose.
Get the trots, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, I got the trots with it.
Oh, well, at least they're keeping an eye on you, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
That's, okay then. Jim, thanks a lot for your giving us your time.
That's all right.
If you jot down a few notes of, I'm running out of tape now, but that little talk you gave to the, a few words about that, about the journey from, where is it, from Karachi?
From Colombo to Karachi.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What was that then, was it?
Well, I was out there in the Air Force.
Yeah.
And a year after I was out there, my youngest brother came out.
Mm.
And I said to our CO about it, I said, my brother, young brother's right there in Southeast Asia Command, can I claim him onto our squadron?
Yeah.
Because the eldest boy can, that's according to King's rules and regulations, the eldest boy can claim the youngest one.
Oh,
well, of course, as the CO said, you know, Brent, there's a war on and I don't know whether these things can be arranged, he said, in these times. But anyhow, he said, I'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And a month afterwards, he had me in, and he said, where your brother is, he's up at Kerangi Creek, about 10 miles out of Karachi, along the coast. He's on flying boats.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, they're short of airframe fitters up there, but if I can spare you, you can go up and join him.
Oh.
So I said, well, can you spare me, sir? So he said, oh, yeah, he said, I think I can. He said, I've got a sergeant, because I was a corporal then.
Mm.
He said, I've got a sergeant can do your job. So I said, thank you very much. And he made all the arrangements and everything, and I went down to Colombo on the Saturday morning.
Mm.
And was on the station at 10 o'clock. And there was three other men on the platform. I got talking to them. And they were three English seamen. They'd been torpedoed in the Indian Ocean.
Oh, yes.
And they were being transported back overland under the aspects of Cook's Tours.
Yes,
they were being escorted back overland by Cook's Tours.
And what date would this be?
This was 1943.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And so they said, oh, we've got a spare bunk in our carriage.
Mm.
You can come in with us if you like.
Uh-huh.
So this is, I went and saw the RTO chap on the, who escorts or sees army personnel through and that. And I said, I'll go in with these people. So he said, yeah, that's all right for them. He said, you'll be better off there. And he said, well, I can arrange for you.
Mm.
So from Colombo, right the way through to Bombay, I was with them.
Oh, yes. Mm.
And as I say, Cook's Tours were seen to us. And when we got over from, because we had to, it's like going from England to France, going across the channel there between Ceylon and southern India.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when we got over the other side to Travancore, the Cook's Tour bloke was there to meet us. And he fitted us in the carriage as this train, a metal box. Mm. And filled it up with a 100-weight block of ice.
Oh, yes. Mm.
And then they played the fans that were in the roof of the carriage down on this block of ice.
Oh, air conditioning.
And that kept us all nice and...
Oh, lovely.
So, I mean, if I hadn't have gone with them, I wouldn't have got that sort of treatment.
That's a bit of fire start.
That's it. Mm. Well, because the train went up to Madras, and we had to change there.
Mm.
And as I say, we were 5 hours in Madras till the next train went west across the India to Bombay.
Oh, yes. Mm.
And because, I think it was about 3 days going right across India like that.
Yeah.
And because there's no restaurant cars and that. The train pulls in at the station. And you're there like the inner station for a couple of hours, go and have your meal. And and in the mornings, you have a wash and a brush up and this sort of thing.
Mm.
Then get back on the train again and off you go again.
Yeah, it's like a little break. It's like a little holiday break.
That's
right. Wasn't it? Yes.
That's it.
Oh, it's
wonderful. And we got as far as Pune.
Yes.
That's about 90 miles outside of Bombay.
Mm.
And you change it then from a steam train onto electric train there.
Oh.
And I mean, this is well before the war.
Yes,
and,
that's quite
during the war. And I mean, we never had trains like that in England here.
No.
And it used to do this 90-mile journey from Pune down into Bombay in just 1 hour.
Cool. Yeah.
And it was like the commuter belt, you see.
Yes.
All the big pots and that sort of thing. Used to go out at night time, go up on this train to Pune, and they had all the big houses and that all up there.
Oh, yes.
And as I say, I came down into Bombay and came into Victoria Station, and I was there for 5 hours, and I had to change over from Victoria Station to Bombay Central.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to go through all the red light district.
Yes.
And of course, this is what caused a bit of laughing at the I said about all the girls, displaying their wares and all the pimps there trying to get me to go in and I got across the Bombay Central, and of course that takes you right up the west coast of India.
Oh, yes.
And of course along there they let the sea in. on the flats.
Yeah.
And then it they shut it off somehow or the other, and the heat or the sun, you know, evaporates the water and it leaves all the salt behind.
That's
how they get their salt.
I see. Yes.
You know, for that part, then, yeah.
Yes.
And then you up through Amritsar and right up into Hyderabad Sin, and then from Hyderabad Sin into Bombay.
Oh, a wonderful journey.
Yeah.
Yes. Cool. Oh, well, okay then, Jim, I think there's only a few minutes to take left now, so it's running out fast. Anyway, thanks very much for the little sequel you just told us.
Yes,
I mean,
okay.
That's all part of the story of life. I mean, that's it's really great. And so yours is almost one of the most comprehensive tales I've yet heard.
that's nice to know, isn't it?
Yeah. So
yeah. Elf Nichols, you know.
Yes.
Is in a home.
Oh, is he now? Yes.
Yeah. You remember where Larson's Club is, Rod?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, you know, the Larson's cricket ground, the football ground there. And there's a home just there.
Oh, yes.
And he's in there.
Oh,
and he's over 90 years of age now.
Cool, yes. I've interviewed him, and I had quite a nice long story from him, and he walked around the establishment as well with me.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the places that he walked around, you know.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's he's nice to know he's being looked after, that's the main thing.
Yeah, that's right, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then, Jim. Yeah,
yeah.
I'll be in touch, and thank you very much again for...
Yeah, nice to talk to you, isn't it? I'm all on my own.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah, my wife died 7 years ago.
Oh, yes. Mm.
Yeah, poor dear, she had this Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was awful. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
No.
Not to have it or to have to look after somebody like it. Terrible it
is. I suppose, in a way, it's a
relief. It was a happy release, yes, it was, honestly. I just couldn't wish her to go on living.
No.
Right.
Oh, well, on a sad note, Jim, I'm fine.
Yeah.
We'll have to...
I'll see you again, innit?
Yes, I'll certainly be in touch.
Yeah. Cheers.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.